We're back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 23. Now this is we're going to read the whole chapter. So I hope you got your Bible so you can underline, take notes and whatnot. But this is one prophecy about a specific community. So we're going to read it in one chunk. Okay, the prophecy about Tyre, chapter 23. It says, an oracle concerning Tyre. Wail, O ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is destroyed and left without house or harbor. From the land of Cyprus, word has come to them. Be silent, you people of the island, and you merchants of Sidon, whom the seafarers have enriched. On the great waters come the grain of the Sihon, the harvest of the Nile, the revenue of the Tyre. She has become the marketplace of the nations. Be ashamed, O Sidon, O you fortress of the sea. For the sea has spoken. I have neither been in labor nor given birth. I have neither reared sons nor brought up daughters. When word comes to Egypt, they will be in anguish at the report from Tyre. Cross over to Tarshish. Wail, you people of the island. Is this your city of revelry, the old, old city, whose feet have taken her to settle in the far off lands? Who planned this against Tyre and bestowed on crowns those merchant princes, those traders renowned in the earth? The Lord Almighty planned it, and to bring low the pride and all glory, and to humble all who are renowned on the earth. Let me read that one again, verse 9. And the Lord Almighty planned it to bring low the pride of all glory, and to humble all who are renowned on the earth. Till your land along the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish, so that you no longer have a harbor. The Lord has stretched out His hand over the sea and made its kingdoms tremble. He has given an order concerning Phoenicia and her fortresses, that her fortresses be destroyed. He said, no more of your reveling, O virgin daughter of Sidon, now crushed. Up, cross over to Cyprus. Even there you will find no rest. Look at the land of the Babylonians, the people that is now of no account. The Assyrians have made it a place for desert creatures. They raised up their siege towers. They stripped its fortresses bare and turned it into a ruin. Wail, O you ships of Tarshish. Your fortresses are destroyed. At that time, Tyre will be forgotten. For 70 years, the span of a king's life. But at the end of that 70 years, it will happen that Tyre, as in the song of the prostitute, take up, O heart. Take up a harp, walk through the city, O prostitute forgotten. Play the harp well, sing many a song so that you will be remembered. At the end of the 70 years, the Lord will deal with Tyre. She will return to her hire as a prostitute and will ply her trade with all the kingdoms on the face of the earth. Yet her profit and her earnings will be set apart for the Lord. They will not be stored up or hoarded. Her profits will go to those who live before the Lord for abundant food and fine clothes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we just ask right now that your Holy Spirit would be present here. Lord, I pray for your anointing upon me that as I preach your word, Lord, you would speak through me and that the people here would be encouraged, that each one would know that they've heard from you, the God of creation, this day. Lord, we give you the glory and we come before you to worship this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, it's a long passage to read. Say, Pastor, that's a lot there. But it's one chunk. It's one prophecy. It's dealing with this one place. Now, where is this place? Okay, we need to call up our slideshow. Okay, give me the first slide on there. Okay, Tyre, as you look up, you can see Tyre is in the blue section, top left. And just above it is Sidon, or Sidon. These are the Phoenician states. We got a few others listed there. Byblos, Beirut, Echo. That blue area there, that is the Phoenician area. It's also known as Canaanites. Now, if you look down to the center in the green, lime green area, you got Jerusalem. right there. And that's the Dead Sea off to the right. To the left is the Mediterranean. Okay, now some of these other prophecies that we've had have dealt with the various areas. We've dealt with the Ashdod and Ashkelon and Gaza. We've dealt with the kingdom of Moab, the Ammonites. We've dealt with the kingdom of Edom and tribes, these various different ones. Now we're dealing with this little strip of blue up there to the left. Next slide. Next. Okay, you can see Cyprus is the island out to the left, and you see up at the top the town of Tarshish, the city of Tarshish. That's another one that was mentioned. Okay, so these are the places that are, you come down, you see Sidon and Tyre and Jerusalem. Now, the Assyrian Empire is also mentioned. So this kind of gives you an idea of where we're talking about. Okay, you can close the slides. Just want to have an idea, picture in your mind of these places. The Phoenician cities, the ones that are being mentioned, they're right on the coast, just to the north of Jerusalem, in what we would call Lebanon today. This whole area that we're looking at of Jerusalem and Sidon and all these areas, this is also known as the Trans-Euphrates area. It's a much larger area. This is Governor here. Now, what's with the geography lesson? Well, you really can't understand what's going on if you don't know where these places are, what's happening. Why is it important? Okay, these Phoenician cities, they were the ones that had the navy. Okay, they were naval powerhouses. They were merchants that transshipped goods from one part of the world across the Mediterranean Sea to another. And these Phoenician cities are now being laid out here and being called to account. They thought they had sea power, but they're going to see God's power in this. See? C-C-S-E-A-S-E-E. I had that before Red Lobster did in their commercials. Just so you know. Yes, Donna will say that. I did that first. Here it is. They think that they're okay because, see, they can just jump in their ships and run off to Crete or Cyprus. Or Crete, which is farther on. But that they can just pull away. You can't really get us. You know, we'll come back and the harbor will still be there. He told us, no, even the harbors are going to be destroyed. Things just aren't going to be what you think. You think that you have power, but you don't. Now, one of the neat things that I as a pastor have is I have the privilege to spend the week reading this passage and then trying to find different things, find out, why am I reading this? What's in this? So I actually spent a fair amount of time this week reading Phoenician history. You're going, boy, Pastor, lucky you. Actually, it is quite interesting. Now, in the evenings, I happen to be preaching from Ezra and our evening services. And if we go to Ezra chapter 6, we have a letter here from Darius, King Darius, who is one of the Armenian kings, emperors, who can also, I'll start with verse 1:6. It says, King Darius then issued an order, and they searched the archives stored in the treasure at Babylon. A scroll was found in the citadel of Ecbatana in the province of Media. On this was written, Memorandum. In the first year of King Cyrus, the king issued a decree concerning the temple of the God in Jerusalem. Let the temple be rebuilt as a place to present sacrifice, and let its foundation be laid. It is to be 90 feet high and 90 feet wide, with three courses of large stones and one of timbers. The costs are to be paid by the royal treasury. Cha-ching! Costs to be paid by the royal treasury. So we jump down. King Darius, after he read them, had included that copy of the memo, jumps in on verse 8 and says, "Moreover, I hereby decree," this is King Darius now, "that you are to do this for the elders of the Jews in construction of the house of God. The expense of these men are to be paid fully out of the royal treasury from the revenues of the Trans-Euphrates, so that the work will not stop." Whatever is needed, young bulls, rams, male lambs for burnt offerings, heavens, wine, oil, as requested for the priests, must be given without fail. So it's pleasing to God. Even late, other places talks about the clothes. Now, as we're reading this passage today in Isaiah, Isaiah is about 150 to 200 years written previous to Ezra. Now, here it says that Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years, the span of a king's life. But at the end of the 70 years, it will happen that Tyre, as in the song of the prostitute, take up the harp. Okay, we got the song. At the end of the 70 years, what's going to happen to Tyre? She returned to her hire as a prostitute. She was a merchant. She sold herself out. She just carried whatever. But the thing of it is she's not going to get the wealth. Yet her profit and her earnings will be set apart for the Lord, and they will not be stored up or hoarded. Her profits will go to those who live before the Lord for abundant food and fine clothes. Also, for building materials for the temple. You see, what happened was the Phoenician states, they kind of thought that they had their own deal. Yeah, the Babylonians, the Arameans, they didn't have a navy, so they thought they were good. However, they did have a very big army. First, the Babylonians conquered them, and they kind of were allowed to kind of do their own thing. And then the Armenians came, and the Assyrians came, and they took over. And they basically showed that they were really the ones that had the strength and the power, and they routed the Phoenicians in these cities. And then they made a deal with them. They said, "You know what? If you will carry our soldiers where we tell you to, when we tell you to, we'll let you be self-governing. But you just have to, of course, give us the money. You can govern yourself, but we get the money." This money, a lot of this money, went to build the temple. Isaiah is talking about this 150 to 200 years before it happens in explicit detail. As I was reading through the histories, and as I'm reading this prophecy, it seemed as if the prophecy was written after it had happened. But it wasn't. It was written well before. Now again, this just shows where the real power lies, doesn't it? God is the one who's in control. They thought that they were safe. They were a sea power. Well, even a sea power needs to have a port. And the army came up and took over the port and even destroyed a couple of them, finally. Okay. Shut them down in such a manner that they're told, "Well, you might as well just go to planting like they do along the Nile." Okay. This sea power was brought humble and low. The Lord Almighty planned it to bring low the pride of all glory and to humble all who are renowned in the earth. Isaiah is going through here, and prophecy after prophecy has been with each people group, each political group, all the way around Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in all the areas all around it. Each one. And this is the next one on the list. The Phoenicians, the Canaanites, the sea power, They're just hanging off on the edge. They're not even really on the land, but yet no group is too big, no group is too small, that God isn't the one that's in control. He's using these empires to do His bidding. You see that in this? He has the Armenian Empire, emperors, kings, writing orders, which He's prophesied well in advance. This is what they're going to do. This is the King of the universe. God. He is the one who has real power. And we can see His power. If we look here, we see it displayed dramatically. As I was reading the history text, it was right there in front of me. But yet we walk around thinking, I'm the one in charge of my life. I'm in control. Yeah, right. I had a colonoscopy on Thursday. Yeah, I'm in control. No! Did I do that because I wanted to? No. No, because my mother's a nurse, my uncle's a nurse, my sister's a nurse. Donna's worked in the health industry. I knew I had no power over it. As soon as they found out that the doctor says you're 50, you're supposed to have one of these, they go, mm-hmm, you're going to have one. So I did. Because I really don't have any power. And that's just in my family compared to God. And we think that we can tell God what to do. We're going to barter with Him. We're going to make a deal. Hey God, let's make a deal. I'll do this for you if you'll do this for me. Seriously? Okay. This is the God who just crushed the naval empire to show that they're not the ones that have power. And then He said, oh, and the money you're going to make in the future, you know, there's going to be a 70-year gap, we're going to leave you long, and then you're going to, all your resources are going to be used to for the people of God. They used it for rebuilding the temple, for clothing the priests and the Levites and the temple workers. Pretty sweet deal. God is concerned about every detail of each and every one of our lives. There isn't one of us that isn't important. I mean, we see it as He's dealing with these small details about this, but there isn't one of us who doesn't fall under His power as He's directing kings of empires. And as He's causing, as I was reading the history, individual workers, Phoenician workers who went to work at the temple and were paid to do that work with money that was raised by the Phoenicians shipping, because that was where the money in the Trans-Euphrates coffers came from. We need to remember that God is the one who's in control. And God is in charge. And that we're not here to make a deal with them. But our job is instead is to do what it is He tells us to do. And to do it to the best of our ability. Recognizing that He wants what's best for us ultimately. Okay, so let me see if I got this straight. The one who created the entire universe actually cares about me and wants what's best for me. And if I will do what it is that he tells me to do, things are going to work out ultimately for the best. But if I go and do things my way, he's going to squash me like a bug. Okay? Well, that isn't that kind of pretty much the way it works out here? Yeah? Okay. Not saying that he doesn't love the ones that get squashed. I'm really sorry I got to do this to you, but I need to get your attention because you're not listening. Some of us require a bigger clue by four than others. Okay, you know what a clue by four is? That's a two by four that's applied to the fourth skull in order to get your attention. God used a Massey Ferguson tractor for me. Okay, just so you have an idea that some of us need bigger clue by fours. He is trying to get the attention of the world through this, through his prophet Isaiah. And we're going, oh, that's cool. No big deal. To prophesy in that detail, that far in advance, about what's going to happen. Remember, at this point in time, the Babylonians are the big boy on the block. Yet, they're not the ones who are used as being the heavy here. It's this other empire that's not going to come around for another 70 years. These Assyrians. See, the Assyrian Empire is, they're off in the hinterlands yet. They're hundreds of miles away, maybe even 1,000 miles away or better. But you know, they're nothing at this point. They don't get big and take over for about 70 years. But here Isaiah is laying it all out. We need to see who has the real power. Do we have the power? No. Did the Phoenicians have the power? No. God is the one who's got the power. So why do we kick and scream and fight against it? Me? Because I'm stupid and stubborn. Just ask my mother. When I, as a child, and I need to get spanked, my father would stop spanking as soon as I began to cry, but I wouldn't cry. And he would continue to apply the clue by four. It was about this size and shape, I believe. Until I cried. Because he hated me? No, because he needed to get my attention. Because I was being stupid and stubborn. Because I had been doing something that I wasn't supposed to do, believe it or not. I know many of you find this hard to believe, but I have not always been the compliant, obedient person that I am today. My father did that to me because he loved me. God loves us more than my earthly father ever could. And he brings stuff in our lives quite often to get our attention, people. For us to recognize that he's the one who has the power. So if he's the one who has the power, then where should I go when I have problems? Well, we're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. Why? Because the wizard is the one who can fix everything. That's why Dorothy and the Scarecrow and the Tin Man all go off that way. Because they were told that he's the guy who's got the power. He's the guy who has all the information that they need. So every time we have a problem, when we're having trouble in our lives, what we should be doing is chasing after God. Because He's the one who created. He's the one who breathed life into each and every one of us. He is the one who cares and gives a rip. He loves you. He loves you enough that He will bring discipline in order to get your attention. Now you can either be less than stellar in your intelligence and let God continue to bring discipline and continue to bring discipline and continue to stand obstinately and say, I know what's best for me. Or we can turn to God and we can say, okay, I give up. Show me what it is you want me to do. That is my encouragement to you today. See who has the real power. God does. Turn to the one who has power when you need help. Because He cares and He will bring help. He cares so much, He arranged all that to happen so that you today would hear about this. So that you would know that God loves you. God loves me, He loves you. And He's the one who's got the power. So let's trust the one who really loves us and who really has the power. Instead of trying to do things our own way. And find out that we're just like the Phoenician Navy. Right now it's just a thing of the past. And they were wiped out in less than a day. The army came and the Navy couldn't stand. They need their port. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this morning. We give You praise, Lord, that You indeed are the one who's in control. That real power does indeed rest in Your hands. Lord, we ask that You would help each one of us to turn to You in our times of trouble instead of trying to do it ourselves. Lord, help us to see that You are the one who has power. Help us to really see You and to see Your power in our lives and in the world. Lord, help us to turn to You and to lean on You so that we might be the benefactor, be the one who benefits from You, our benefactor. Lord, help us to benefit from You, Lord. Because we've trusted in You. Lord, just as the people of Israel trusted in You and returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, and You provided the means to do so, and it set all those things in motion hundreds of years previously. And we know that You set things in motion to provide for our need well in advance. And that when we turn to You, it will be there. That help that we need will be there because You have already provided it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and we close by singing, He is Lord. He is Lord.